Victoria Lynn. Today, you're going to discover the many sides of this multi-passionate, multi-talented, fiery creative who's making a splash in the indie publishing world, as well as running two other companies, Glory Writers and Victoria Lynn Fashion. So, how does she do it all? And how did she, as a multi-passionate individual, give herself permission to take on this rather unconventional approach to life, business, and community building? I'm so excited for today's conversation. This is going to be awesome. Victoria and I obviously talk all the time. We have so many fun conversations, and just the idea of being able to record it and share it with you guys is super fun. So who knows where this conversation is going to go? We will probably be all over the place, but thank you so much, Victoria, for joining us today. It's going to be super fun.
Happy to be here. I'm super excited.
Awesome. Okay. So we might as well just dive in because we don't have much time. But the first thing I think would be fun to talk about is just how you are a multi-passionate. You're obviously super creative. You have your hands in all sorts of different things, which people heard in the intro, just like a couple of the things that you're doing. And one of the things that I've talked about before in this podcast is how you can do it all, but you cannot do it all at the same time. You can't do it all at once. So as a multi-talented, multi-passionate person, this is your life. This is what you do every day. So I would love to know, at what point in your life did you start to feel like the call to pursue multiple things at once? Like, is it something that you grew up knowing about yourself or not something that you really figured out till later?
Yeah, I think for me, I've always had such a drive to learn things and do things myself. I am like the queen of DIY. It's like, if I see something, I want to do it and figure out how to do it rather than buy it or what have you. So yeah. Just growing up, I've always had that mentality, but I've always been entrepreneurial. Like, I started different businesses at super young ages. And I think one of the reasons that I kind of was like this trial and error thing more than me being like, I'm going to do everything. It was more of like, oh, I'm going to try this. Well, that didn't work out, you know, as much as I thought, or I'm going to try this. I started out selling note cards that I handmade, and it was like this business, like all of my aunts and uncles and like friends. I think I was like 12 and 13.
That's awesome.
It was a couple years in there. And so that's what it was called, Notes of Encouragement. It was 1 Thessalonians 5:11, all about and giving an encouraging word to others. And so I started doing that super, super young. And then over time it became sewing, and I sold bags and wallets that I handmade for years. And then our family had a, you know, homegrown business. And so it's just like all of these things. And I don't think I was ever throughout my teens like, oh my gosh, I have to do 5 things at once, or I'm going to run 5 businesses at once. But at the same time, I was constantly trying, constantly doing something new. And and so like getting to the point, I honestly feel like the biggest epiphany moment for me with all of that, doing multiple things, was last year. Because throughout all that time, the biggest thing that people tell you is like, you can only do one thing at once. You can only do one thing well. You have to narrow in and pick your niche and pick your focus and pick your one thing that you do. And I always struggled with that so much because I was like, but I truly love doing more than one thing. Like, if somebody sat me down and said, you're only allowed to do one thing for the rest of your life, what is it going to be? I would probably just burst into tears on the spot.
Scary.
That's like so like scary and nerve-wracking and just like sad to think of all the things that I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And so I think, and I bucked against that a lot throughout the years of just like feeling like I know this is good advice at like in a way, but like it's not jiving with what I'm feeling in my spirit. And last year, God kind of like opened a lot of doors at once, and it was really weird for me. And I kind of sat there like, wait, Lord, don't you read all of the marketing books? Don't you know that you can only do one thing at once? Like, why are you opening multiple doors at once and multiple avenues and streams of business making? Like, what is happening here? And they were like very opposite things. It was like a fashion line and writing a book and working a day job and starting in marketing. And I was just like, what is happening? And I really feel like he gave me so much grace, and he spoke so much to me in that time of like, now is the time to go. I'm giving you the grace that you need, and I'm calling you to be in multiple areas. And so that was kind of last year. I feel like I had to unlearn a lot of things and be like, no, the stuff that I've been told my whole life that you can only do one thing is not what God's telling me and what God's telling me to do. I need to be faithful to what he's calling me to do, even if it doesn't look like what everybody thinks it should.
Right. And I think that's so good of like the Lord reaffirming that to you and being like, that might be good for some people, like just do one thing, but I've created you with a specific purpose, which is to do multiple things. And he has created some of us like that. And just to have the Lord like reaffirm that for you, I'm sure was super encouraging.
Just it was.
Let you know that you're on the right path.
Yeah, for sure.
So what would you say is like one of the biggest struggles with being a multi-passionate person?
I think it is honestly that like that mentality that like you want to do it all, but like also there are like there we're somewhat limitless with how God's created us to be, right? Like he has given us we have an ability for to do all of the passions that he's given us, you know what I mean? Like he's equipped us for what he's called us to do, but there also is boundaries. And I think, and being healthy, like mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, like if you are working yourself into the ground every day, which I definitely struggle with, like that's the biggest struggle with me is saying no to things and putting boundaries in place and making sure that I am still having, you know, wellness time, if you will, and spending, having the ability to spend time with the Lord or do those different things that are like daily habits that need to be in place. And so I think that's been the hardest thing for me is just being like, okay, God is saying yes to a lot of things, but there are also going to be no's. And there are also going to be things that I have to put outside for the time being, or things that I have to directly focus on at a time. So yeah, just having that like ability to kind of flex and flow inside and outside of boundaries and figure out what my boundaries are, not what the world's boundaries are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's really good. And then on the flip side, what would you say is the most rewarding thing about being multi-passionate?
Ooh, I honestly think it is that ability to do, like just to have your hands in different areas. And, but truly like so much of what I do is focused on communities and uplifting those communities. And so it's been really cool to meet different circles of people in those different spheres and really be able to encourage and sow into people of different ages, different groups, different interests, like, and just really have that ability to really be outside of the box when it comes to relationships too, of just like, I can be friends with anybody, you know what I mean? Like it's just really fun to have all of those connections. And just get to swim in all those different circles. But yeah, and then it is just getting to actually, like, I know it's not fun for everybody to do a bunch of things at once, but like, I truly love all of the things that I pursue. Like I'm genuinely super passionate about all of them. So of course I love doing them.
Right. And having that variety of,
yes,
it's different every day, like as far as the different types of projects and things. And
it's very invigorating. So fun.
Yes. I know. I 100% relate with all of that. Like, to the extreme, like that's why I love having these conversations, because I feel like there are so many people out there who are wired similarly to how we are, but they're maybe like not aware of that that's okay, because like you said, so many of the messages coming against us all the time are like, you have to pick one thing, fit inside this box, become the expert in this category. And again, there's nothing wrong with people who are called to do that. Like there are people that are called to just do one thing and do it excellently, and that's amazing, but not all of us are like that. And so it's fun just to be able to encourage people that have those similar calls in their life. So speaking of all the things and all the different topics, we should go ahead and start diving into our first topic, which you guys, we could talk about this all day and all night. So honestly, like, let me know, like after you listen to this, if you guys maybe want a part two to this podcast, or if there's like a specific topic where you're like, please, we need to have more conversation. But we're going to start with writing. So update us on your writing life. By the time this episode releases, your book, Once I Knew, is going to be live. It's going to be out in the wild. Everyone will have their hands on it. So this is your chance to share with us about the book, anything you want. Maybe those who are listening who don't even know what your book is about. And just, it's your moment to just plug your book. So go for it.
Yeah. Awesome. So my newest book is Once I Knew, and it is a non-magical medieval fantasy. And the reason it's fantasy is because it is kind of set in this fictional world that I've created, and it's called The Chronicles of Alira. And this is actually going to be book one. There's going to be a full series. There are quite a few books planned out, so I'm not going to spoil anything going forward, but This book is about a young farm girl who is kind of in this world where she's trying to keep all of the politics and the craziness at a distance because things are getting kind of dark and hopeless, and she's just kind of trying to keep her head above water. And she encounters a kingsman, a soldier in the woods, and at the risk of her own life and her kind of upturning her family world, she takes in this soldier who is injured and has absolutely no memory of who he is. And so she kind of has to wrestle with this ability of like, do I tell him who he is? Do I keep it from him to keep my family safe? Like, what is the right thing to do? And how do I do the right thing, but yet still be safe and you know, follow what God's called me to do? So that's just kind of the book in a nutshell. Yes. Livia said it will be out. It's available for purchase. And it's honestly like my favorite thing right now. Like I know you always say this about the current book. It's like, you're always your favorite.
the newest one.
Yeah. But this one truly does feel extra special. I was telling a friend today, I'm like, throughout all of my, like the books that I put out, when you're like getting to the point of publishing, you're very done with it. Like you almost don't want to read it again. You don't want to see it again. You don't want to dive back in. This book feels so different to me because I'm literally still reading it right now. Like I got my copy in and I'm flipping through pages and I'm rereading it again and I'm actually loving it. And it's like, I've never had this feeling before. So that's hope and pray it blesses and encourages people. But that's awesome.
So you mentioned a series. Do you know how many books there are going to be?
As of right now, which I'm only one book in and I have this massive epiphany of all of them. So who knows how much it's going to change.
Yeah.
But as of right now, it's set at 5. I have 5 plotted out. So that's
cool. That's exciting. That's
exciting, but also overwhelming because it's like you have to commit to 5 books. You know?
Yeah, but it'll fly by much faster than you even realize. Like, it's so weird. I'm working on the last book in my series. And it's such a surreal feeling because I'm like, I remember when I first had those moments of like plotting everything out, like all those years ago. And it's like to see how time flies and then you're actually working on your last book. It's like, what is this? So it'll be here before you know it.
Well, that's
like,
encouraging to hear. So.
I know, because I remember that feeling of all these book ideas. I'm like, no, I'm going to be like an old woman when I finish this. I'm like, oh, I'm actually not. I'm not even married yet. Like I can just cruise through
fine.
This. Yeah, for sure. So what are you working on right now? Are you currently writing anything or are you doing more marketing? What does that look like?
Yeah, I'm kind of split right now, pretty 50-50. I'm doing a lot of marketing, but I'm also trying to draft book 2. My hope is to, don't hold me to this, anybody.
No,
but my
promises.
Hope is to have it. No promises, but my goal for myself is to have this book 2 ready to release by Valentine's Day of next year. So I need to get writing. And I think I'm probably potentially even a quarter of the way in, honestly. So super encouraging that I'm that far in, but we're trying to get to a point where I can have the time to spend more time on it.
Yeah. And I'm sure once, you know, the book release happens and by the time you guys are listening to this, she'll probably already be halfway through her book. And it will be much further along, but yeah, that's so fun. So on the writing topic, another thing that I thought would be super fun for us to talk about is Glory Writers, which for those who are listening, who have maybe never heard of Glory Writers, if you want to introduce kind of just like your heart behind the community, what the purpose is, what you've been sharing online, your Instagram, like there's just so much happening with it. Go fire away, whatever you want to share.
Awesome. Yeah. Glory Writers is a writing community specifically for Christian writers with a focus on indie publishing. We definitely welcome all Christian writers, but we are really teaching and helping grow people in the indie community and help them, you know, learn how to actually publish a book and how to get it to market. But our tagline is writing for God's glory, from His glory. And just like this recognizing of that it truly is a partnership with God in creativity to write a story and to craft something. And just like the weight and the responsibility that holds, but also just the gift that is. We're building community as much as we can. We've got a lot of really solid community, truly, like on Instagram. Like our people love what we're putting together and they love hanging out together, which is a blast. And with that, so we're doing a lot of like learning things and teaching people. And we have a lot of like educational stuff, but also just like some fun writerly camaraderie things over on our social media. But we're also working towards more retreats. We've done 2 this year already. And they have been such a gift and so amazing. And I can't wait to see what God continues to do with that. But we're planning more for the future, potentially one in the fall. So if that interests you, let us know, because we have a short list of people that we're going to let know right away. But yeah, so really, really excited to see what God does with that. We actually are, by the time this podcast releases, we will have launched our press division. So Glory Writers Press is a go. And Once I Knew is actually the first book under Glory Writers Press. And we're hoping to have and bring more authors on board in the future.
Yeah, so exciting. I know that was like a very good nutshell version. Like, I'm impressed with how quickly you were able to spit all of that out. Because in reality, you guys, we talk about these things for like 2 hour chunks at a time. So the fact that you could just so beautifully wrap that all together and explain, I was like, oh, bravo. That was beautiful. You did a great job. But yeah, that's so fun. So I guess we'll just move on to the next category, because there are so many different things that you're doing right now. Something that I think is a fun topic, which really, I mean, it ties back into Glory Writers and what you've been building with that community there, but also Instagram, like your Instagram. Everybody who follows Victoria knows that she's like the queen of her Instagram with her reels and her photos and her amazingly like encouraging captions and just her consistency with her Instagram. Like, it's been so fun to watch you build that over time and just like see your community continue to grow and grow. But I know that so many people are asking, everyone who follows you, they want to know, how do you do it? How do you make this happen? So I would love to know, what are some of your secrets with social media? What have you been doing? Do you have any quick tips for people? What do you want to share on that topic?
Yeah. So Instagram has become this really amazing community to me, truly. Like, I was talking about it with my Instagram followers this past week, of truly just letting them know, like, I know you guys. Like, it's a community. It's small, but it's mighty. I feel like I truly know like everybody there, like anybody who has ever messaged me or commented, like I know people's by sight now. And that's really, really exciting. Cause it's been a long time coming. So it's just really cool to see kind of the fruits of that labor and just that, pouring into and kind of seeing a little bit of a harvest from that. But, yeah, so for tips for people with Instagram, like truly the things that have saved me has been, when it comes to my personal Instagram, it's very different. It's very like ministry oriented. I actually create each caption every single day. Like they're very current. I rarely get ahead with them. And that's intentional, because I want it to be very, on topic and just whatever the Lord is speaking to me that day to encourage people. So yeah, I do certain things that I can ahead of time. So like, whether that be batching out some reels and just filming a bunch at a time and then posting them over time, or what have you, but otherwise it kind of keeping it pretty current is my thing with that. But yeah, I really just, for anybody with wanting to grow Instagram, focus on growing and on sewing is kind of what I say. As I'm like, people are like, how do you, you know, balance the time that you're spending on Instagram? And I'm like, truly, because I'm there for a purpose. I'm not there to float. I'm not there to, you know, play around or just like fuel, you know, just this entertainment factor. For me, it really is, if my first priority on Instagram is to sew into people, and what that looks like for me is, you know, what am I putting out? What am I content that I'm putting out? How am I spending my time? Am I doing it wisely, sending that? But also, am I sewing into the community that I already have and really focusing on loving them well? Before I'm sitting here like looking at my follower counter being like, am I getting new people or not? Like, that's not the focus. It's about who do I have right now and how can I love on them? And so that like looks like engaging with their content and watching their stories and DMing them and reaching out to them being like, I'm so proud of you. You finished your book. Like, just all these things. Yeah. So that's like my biggest thing, is having those priorities set when it comes to Instagram, truly is, okay, why am I here? And what is the best use of my time on this app? And then if I do have time, I can play on reels and search and have fun, but that's not the first focus, I guess. Yeah. I should say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are kind of like I was trying to nut it, but I feel like those are kind of like the most important things to me that I love telling people.
And I think that's really good, because that just shows your mindset about it, which I think obviously that's the most important thing. Like, before you have a plan or a goal, is like to have the right mindset about it, like to be thinking about it the way that God's thinking about it. Because I feel like Instagram can be a very like entrapping thing for some people. I mean, obviously you have, you know, the comparison factor, and you have the comparing numbers, and you have, I posted this and nobody responded. Do people not like me? Just like a lot of mental things that go into using that app for a variety of reasons. And so just the fact that you can come into it with a healthy mindset, I think it's probably the top priority before you even try to do anything else. So that's really good. I love that advice. Let me think, is there anything from the practical aspect that you would have to share? I mean, I know with Instagram, the algorithm is all over the place. They're constantly changing things. By the time this comes out, I'm sure this will be old news anyway, but are there just any like super little practical tiny tips, like something you've done that you're like, oh, that was super helpful that people might not know about?
Yeah. I mean, truly being consistent. Consistency doesn't have to look like every single day, three times a day. Consistency can just look like truly consistent. Like if you are showing up once a week on Instagram and that's all that you can manage, make a commitment to show up once a week for a period of time. You know what I mean? Make sure you are being consistent in how you are showing up. I definitely think that plays a big difference. And then also be willing to utilize all of the different tools that Instagram has to offer. I feel like people kind of try to pigeonhole themselves into a box or into this little spot and be like, I'm only going to do this part of it because this is all I know how to do. And this is the easiest part. I saw something today that was really like a good reminder of like, be less about perfection and more about connection. And that truly what it is like your reel does not have to be perfect before for you to post it. Your post does not have to be perfect to post it. Your stories don't have to be this perfectly manicured thing. Like get it out there, like be engaging with people and connecting with them. And like I said, be willing to utilize the different aspects, like be using reels, be using your post, use your stories, go live once in a while if you can. Again, don't let it be this all consuming thing, but be willing to try new things and don't put yourself in a box and say, oh, I'm never going to do a reel or I'm never going to post on stories because I'm too scared to. Like, that's a really great way to truly build true connection.
Yeah. And I think that's so great that you keep coming back to, you know, it's all about just connecting with people. And honestly, that's one of the best benefits that comes from any type of marketing, I think, in my opinion, is the friends that you make. Because at the end of the day, it's like, of course, you know, we love more readers and we love book sales and all those things. But it's like my favorite thing about social media is connecting with friends and then meeting them in real life. And then just like building these lifelong friendships, which is what you want to do with your readers. That's the type of community and feeling that you want to give people, not just in like a gimmicky way of like, oh, let's be friends, you can buy my book, but like really you can meet some of your best friends online. Yeah. And that's a real thing. And if you put the effort into, like you said, sowing into that, you are going to reap a harvest of friendship. Absolutely. And I just think that's like totally worth doing and totally worth the time.
Yeah. And I mean, again, you're talking about perspective, like that part of it to me is more of it. My perspective is that those friendships, those relationships are more valuable than any book sale that I could ever make.
Definitely. Yeah, that's so good. Hey dreamers, Libby Lynn here. I hope you're enjoying today's episode of Dream to Destiny. Before we jump back into part two, I wanted to let you know that my brand new book, The Revolution, which is number 4 in the Tales of Tarsarella series, releases this summer, July 7th, 2022. You can find all the Tales of Tarsarella books on Amazon or on my website, libbylynnblog.com. The Tales of Tarsarella is about a royal family living in a fictitious nation in Europe. Meet all 8 siblings of the royal fam as they navigate life in the public eye, learn the importance of guarding their hearts, and grow closer in their walk with God and each other on this unforgettable multi-book journey. You can read book 1, The Coronation, for free on KDP, or you can grab an e-copy for just 99 cents. Happy reading! Okay, so our next fun topic is your cover design and formatting. So for those who do not know, my beautiful Tales of Tarsarella covers, I feel like you would know this if you follow me, but if you didn't know, for some crazy reason, Victoria is the lovely designer of these beautiful covers, and it's been such a blessing in my life to have her be able to help me with these, and just they've turned out so pretty. But I'm not the only author who has benefited from your amazing services, not just with the cover, but also with formatting. Like, you've been able to help so many people with their books, and I just love that that's something you do. I feel like a lot of people aren't even aware that you do that, and so I feel like it's fun to just remind people, hey, if you need help, Victoria can totally help you. So what is it that first got you into cover design?
Yeah. So when I've always been like an artsy person, like I just love making things pretty is just the way I describe it, because it doesn't really matter what medium it is at this point in my life. It's like, I just love making pretty things. Yeah. And book covers are such a fun part of the book process. A cover truly sells a book. Like, people, they always say, don't judge a book by its cover, but it really does sell the book initially. And so that back when, gosh, I first got on Goodreads, first started writing, so it was about 6 years ago now. I think I just started making, this was back when Goodreads was the thing to do as an author, and I was like making community over there. And I think I just put out like a note, like a post or whatever on there, and was like, hey, I'm practicing book cover designs. If anybody wants me to do a mock-up for them, like just for fun, like let me know. And I think I had like 5 or 6 takers on that. And so that was like my first start of like, ooh, people like this, and this is fun. And it was my first experience working with people too, on that. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. Like, I loved it so much, and has just grown from there. And so I've gotten to work with a lot of different authors, through a lot of different situations and different, completely different genres and styles. Yeah. And I love that about it. I'm never going to be the person who's like, oh, I only do these kinds of things. It's like, no, I love, like, if it's like suspense, absolutely sign me up. Historical, I'll do it, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to have that experience of doing all different kinds. So
yeah, more variety, more of what you love.
Yeah.
Perfect. I love that. So speaking of making things beautiful and pretty, we have to talk about Victoria Lynn fashion, because I think it's so sweet. Because that's kind of like, if we go back to the beginning of your story, you had it where you were in this process of having a small business, and you were started with sewing. And so I think it's really cool that you've come full circle into creating garments again and creating things for people to be able to buy and enjoy. I don't know, I'm sure many of you listening have seen some of the dresses that she's made. Like, she makes a lot of her own clothes. She's also done some beautiful commissions for people who have hired her for dresses and skirts and all kinds of fun stuff. So this is something that has been gaining more momentum as you've also been doing all the other things at the same time. Like you said earlier, God's kind of been opening up multiple doors all in, within the same season. So I would love to hear more about your fashion line, which is, I know it's not officially a fashion line yet, but it's going to be. Would love to know just like how you first fell in love with fashion and design and all that fun stuff.
So it definitely started really early. I took a sewing class when I was like 9 or 10. Okay. And my favorite part of the story, because it cracks me up, is that I absolutely hated sewing. Like, I was like, this is the absolute worst. Like, my sewing machine hates me. It constantly tangled all the time. So it's like, God totally redeemed my bad attitude over that, because it completely flipped it on its head. And it's now like my absolute favorite thing ever. It really truly started from a huge need. Growing up, I had a huge love for like Anne of Green Gables and Little Women and Little House on the Prairie. And all I wanted to do was wear a twirly dress and run around barefoot outside. And there was nothing available. I was, you know, a 90s baby. I grew up in the early 2000s where the only thing to be had was low rise jeans and crop tops or spaghetti straps. And I was just not super into that. I just remember as like a really young kid, like 9 or 10, like I had to get boys' jeans to play outside because there was just nothing modest, nothing cute, nothing feminine that really truly fit my style, let alone was even, you know, wearable for me truly. We met some friends around that time, and they had these beautiful flowy skirts, and I was like, where did you get those? Like, I am obsessed. And they lived on a farm, so it was just like even more romantic. And they were like, oh, we made them ourselves, and this is the sewing pattern we use. I bought that pattern and went and like convinced mom to take me to the store to buy fabric. Uh-huh. And as a little 13-year-old girl, I was like, darn it, I will figure this out. And so I wrestled with my sewing machine and I fought with it and I won. And over time, I think that specific skirt pattern is still one of my favorites. It's super full and twirly. But I probably made upwards of like 75 of those skirts over time myself, for friends, for siblings. Like, it was I got lots of practice. And so that's where like a lot of my experience comes from, was truly like, I could not find anything to wear. And so I wanted to make something that really fit me. And it was opened up this whole new world of like, oh my gosh, fashion is customizable. Like, I can choose what I want to wear and not be pigeonholed into what society says I have to wear. And so that is like really another like outside of the box thing that got opened up in my life. And now with Victoria Lynn Fashion, like, my goal is to do that for other people, is to provide clothing for them that is specifically tailored to their measurements. So we're not messing with all of the size 6 through 12. It's like, no, this is custom made for you to your measurements, and it's going to fit in all of those respects. It's not going to be, oh, need to be taken in a little here, it's too long there. It is made to your measurements to fit you perfectly. And also just kind of bringing that quality aspect into it, and that made in the US aspect of like trying to be as sustainable as possible. And then just kind of marrying that all with a very feminine classic look. And this femininity is huge for me. So I really want to provide those dresses and those skirts and just those beautiful blouses and tops and things that make women feel extra special and take so much delight in what they're wearing.
Yeah, I love that. That's so great. Also, it kind of gives me hope, because I also hated sewing as a child. I just never got over it. Like, so maybe I too am destined to create beautiful clothes, and I just have never stepped into my full potential.
Yes, there you go. You didn't fight your battle with the sewing machine. Truly.
I didn't. No, I didn't. Yeah, maybe we'll have to look into that someday. I love it. Okay, so kind of piggybacking off of that, what was it that inspired you to finally like take the leap and officially begin like your Instagram page? Because I know you had been doing commissions here and there for people, but what was it that just kind of confirmed for you that I was okay to start pursuing Victoria Lynn fashion in the midst of everything else that you had going on?
Yeah, gosh, I'm trying to even remember. I don't know. Like, I'm really thinking back, and it truly was just this like, oh, we're doing this now kind of thing. I'm trying to remember what actually started it. I feel like I must have made a bunch of stuff for myself. Oh, it might have been me making, oh, you know what? I know what it is. So a couple of years ago during December, I started a fundraiser for to fight human trafficking, and I joined a ministry or nonprofit, if you will, that's called Dressember. And their goal is they have women dress up in dresses for an entire month in December and talk about and raise awareness and funds to fight human trafficking. And that's a mission that's super, super close to my heart and always has been since I was little. And I was like, I'm going to take this a step farther because I'm so extra. And I'm going to make a dress in December, and I'm going to make a ball gown. I'm going to make something super fancy and fun and pretty. And I made it, and I took all of my like Instagram followers and newsletter subscribers along for the journey. It was like this whole thing. It was this month long. I was posting almost daily of the progress on this dress. And when I completed it, there was a part of me that was like, wow, this turned out better than I expected. Like, I'm actually capable of this high end stuff. And it was just like this really beautiful experience. And like the photos were amazing. Like, my brother took them, and just the editing, everything about them, it was just like so dreamy. Yeah. It was like, I'm living in a storybook. Like, this is so, so cool. And that's kind of how like the fashion and storybook aspect of them got married. Over time, like, there was so many eyes on that. Like, just in the sense of like all of my followers saw that and were like, whoa, like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That I got people being like, oh, would you make me a dress? Or can you make me this? Or like, what if I asked you to make me this? And it really got me thinking. I was like, oh, there's an actual need for this too. Like, I'm not the only person who couldn't find anything to wear.
Yeah.
Like, this is a real, very real problem in the world today. And so, yeah, I think that truly was what started it, because it was about 4 months later, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that I launched Victoria Lynn Fashions. And I started off just by sending like a custom made skirt to an influencer as like a, will you share about this if you like it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it blew up really fast right away, because she did, and she actually really, really loved the pieces that I made for her, and her following was such that they were like, absolutely, give it to me, I want it too. And so I think I made a bunch of pieces off of just that one commission, and it kind of just snowballed. And as I was sharing more about it and telling people like, look at this custom piece I made, and then this custom piece, it was like people were really approaching me more for those custom pieces. So the ball gown started it all.
And by the way, she also does wedding dresses, just throwing that out there, which absolutely blows my mind. Like, I can understand like being talented to a certain level, but once you get into wedding dresses, I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's a legend. What is this?
I'm not gonna lie, wedding dresses still freak me out in the best way, because it's like, this is a challenge, but like, woo, this is gonna be.
I can only imagine that's a lot. So what's your big vision for Victoria Lynn Fashion? I know that I have lots of ideas, not that I'm the one running your company, but like I could see so much happening here. I would love to hear what you have in mind for like big picture.
Yeah. So right now, I mean, in the future, I can totally see me having a storefront. That's not anywhere near like the next 3-year goal at all. Unless the Lord were to do something, change something over, but I can totally see that happening. I just like love I can totally picture the aesthetic in my brain too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's
definitely a long-term dream. But, in the meantime, I think for me, like it's really going to be launching, custom made. And the thing for me is I really want to keep it handmade. I want to keep that aspect of it. So I don't know if the Lord would open up like a production that I would actually have a factory make stuff ever, just because I really want to have that focus on that custom hands-on getting to pray over every piece, you know what I mean, like just really special about aspect of it. But yeah, I would love to launch, and there may be some coming very soon down the pipeline. But I love some collections that are themed, that are specific and just like very feminine, classy, wearable pieces that women can add into their wardrobe. And in addition to continuing to make those like big items like wedding dresses and ball gowns. But yeah, I would love to have these like little, in my head, I'm picturing these little collections, these little trunks of 4 to 5 pieces that launch for viewers, and it's probably going to be like limited edition type of thing. But yeah, I want to keep it handmade, want to keep it made in the US, want to be as ethical with sourcing as possible. And then just creating pieces that last too. Like I want these to be like kind of heirloom pieces that are like dresses and skirts that'll last for a while. So yeah, that's like
love it. So fun. I know. It always makes me so excited to hear about all of that. Like it's super fun to think about. Okay, so we have covered a lot of topics, but before we go, I think we need to hit up a couple random questions because it's just fun to ask random questions. My first question for you is, if you were not allowed to do any of the things that you're currently doing, like it's all illegal, you can't do it, you're not talented, like you just can't do it, what would you choose as a profession? It has to be something different. What would you pick?
Ooh, okay. Something, it's really hard to pick something that I'm not doing because I'm doing a lot at the moment. I'm like, I can't.
Eddie, like you really have to branch out to think about what you're not doing.
Yeah. The first thing, like, this is actually odd to me that this came to mind first, but the first thing that came to mind would be to be a piano teacher. I took piano for like 17 years, I think, like took piano lessons and like played. But then I also did teach piano for like 2 years. And I feel like I would do really well with that. I feel like I would enjoy that a lot. I thought of it too. If like logistics worked out just with like having a family, being a natural midwife would be high on the list as well. So yeah, those two things would be top picks, I think.
I love it. So good. Okay. Oh, why? What in the world? Why did I write this question down? I should not.
What? Well, now I need to know what it is.
Sure. And I'm like, describe your dream road trip. Like we talk about traveling and road trips all the time.
We talk
like,
about this all the time. London, obviously. Driving around the countryside.
Yes.
That's my first pick.
I love it. Well, that was super short.
Greece. Okay, close second, which everybody knows probably London, but Iceland. I feel like people like give me a weird look whenever I say, I'm like, I wasn't go to Iceland and do a road trip on Iceland. And they're all like, why? And I'm like, it's like another planet. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. That would be amazing. I love it. Okay. My last question. This is actually kind of a selfish question. I'm expecting you to give a certain answer, but I know you're not going to. So if you had to live somewhere else in the world besides Michigan, where would you choose and why?
In the world or the U.S.? Because if you just give me the world, you know I'm not.
No, I said the world. That's what's written down. It says the world.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So doable wise, it would probably be if politics and circumstances and money were no object, I would probably pick a cabin in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, like in the mountains and forest would probably be my first pick. If we could go international, I would probably pick like Guernsey Island or somewhere in the UK, but like in the countryside for sure. Yeah, probably cool. preferably close to the ocean.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
Why would you want me to pick the ocean? Ocean and or mountains, just like it has to be that.
A never-ending plot to get everybody to move to Tennessee. That's what I was going for, but it's okay. You can live at the ocean. I approve of that.
We gotta have a place for you to come visit and like decompress at a beach. So
true. Yeah, no, I love having friends live all over the place because then I can visit them. It works out great. We can't all live in the same place. That would just be, right. We'd never go like, anywhere.
Right.
Except we would. So never mind.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dream to Destiny. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you rate and review and pass this episode on to a friend. What did you think of today's episode? I would love to hear from you. What topics would you enjoy on future episodes? Do you have any special guest ideas? Shoot me an email and let me know. LivyLynnAuthor@yahoo.com. That's LivyLynnAuthor@yahoo.com.